by facts and driven by truth. Broadcasting live from beautiful British Columbia, it's Roadkill Radio.
And I'm Carrie Simpson, and...
I'm Ron Gray.
How's Ron Gray?
Well, I'm glad to be here. It's been a busy week, but I'm glad to be here. We've got lots to talk about.
Another night on Roadkill Radio.
Another night on Roadkill Radio.
And it has been a glorious Roadkill Radio week, Ron Gray, since last time we graced the Fiasco Brothers studios with our presence.
Well, and I think we need to give some credit for that to our audience, because their response to the Culture Guard item and the Pornogate item has just been phenomenal, and they're starting bells ringing all over town, all over the province, all over the country.
It has been a bit of a wild ride this last week, hasn't it, Ron?
And I can understand it. I mean, our own reaction to the stuff that we exposed when we first saw it was outrage, and we felt we had to present that to the audience, because after all, this is what they're presenting to your children, often your young children, and that's what outraged us. And you have to see it to believe it, and once you know that that's what they're doing, you have to react with anger.
Ron, let's do a little bit of a recap, because I know we have a lot of new Roadkill Radio
fans
nowadays.
A lot of people have been telling their friends, you got to tune in.
And I have to tell you, Ron, my inbox every morning, there's been 200 emails. I mean, it has just been, you go to bed at night, you leave the office, and when I get up again and hit the office and turn on that inbox, there's a whole new fresh batch. Now, for those of you who are just kind of getting familiar with us here at Roadkill Radio, Roadkill Radio is a tool for you, the people. We make no apologies for our position on things. We believe that you, as citizens in a free and democratic society, and as taxpayers, deserve to know what is transpiring, what your tax dollars are being used for, what your children are being exposed to in this particular situation within the public education system, agendas that will work to the detriment of the family. We believe in the sanctity of life. We believe in protecting life. We believe in the natural family. And we believe the natural family is the cornerstone to our democracy. We also think the rule of law should be adhered to. It seems to be regrettably a trend that many of our judges and courts do not. That's for a different show on a different day. The events of last week, which we are going to continue with because there's lots to update you with, is involving an organization that's very much affiliated with us here at Roadkill Radio. For many of you, you are aware that we have a community partners program. The staff that I work with here, we have a great resource, libraries, knowledge. For those of us, too many of us have been around too long, Ron Gray, where different organizations and different individuals come to us for help. They give us the heads up about what's going on in their schools. We maybe get a call for somebody who has had a child apprehended.
Well, your voluminous files from the Citizens Research Institute provide an unparalleled background there. No book's going to help you with that. Those files are incredible.
And the staff here help people when those kinds of situations come up. Now, through our activities involved with a very wonderful group, a group that's just gaining momentum in ways I have never seen before, the Parents' Voice. They were those keen parents with their good antennas, started to question a policy that was brought in, I believe, around May of this year. And
real citizen, grassroots citizenry.
Actually, when you look at this mobilization, Ron, this is what it is about, isn't it? People who identify a problem, an agenda gone wild in this case, school trustees not being completely honest, and probably
the sneakiness and the deception behind it.
I'm still, an optimist enough to know, Ron, that I doubt even these school trustees really knew what they were involved with. You know, now, is that an excuse? No, but that's just carry on a nice day, okay? And we have a record of it.
I think of the video that Culture Guard put out, and there's the one segment where Bill Good of CKNW asks Larry Hayes, so is there anything about actual sexual activity involved? And there's a picture from this program playing in the background as Larry says, oh, no, certainly not. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's a case of either being maliciously deceptive or ignorant.
And neither one's a winning combination when you're a school trustee, and especially when you're chairman of the board. Now, how did Culture Guard and Roadkill Radio get involved in all of this? Well, we got wind about a program that was happening, and for those of you who only know me from my Roadkill Radio appearances, I'm also president of an organization called Culture Guard, which has grown out of the Citizens Research Institute. And we were advised of this program, and we did a typical thing that's associated with what we do, is we actually researched the program. Novel concept, I think, these days, Ron Gray, because so many people just take what's presented instead of questioning it. And, you know, there's a good proverb that says, he who presents his case first seems right till another voice questions. Well, I think we should always be questioning things, especially where our children are involved. We have a duty as parents to protect those kids and to ensure what they are being inundated with or trained in is truly in their interest and that of our civil society. So we looked at this program called Out in Schools.
Yeah.
And, you know, it had a really nice ring to it, Ron. It presented itself as being a real helpful tool. I mean, after all, who wouldn't want children to have a program that promotes kindness and respect and deals with bullying? I mean, this program is an anti-bullying program, is it not?
Well, that was where Parents' Voice came against the policy of the Burnaby School Board. The Burnaby School Board introduced an anti-bullying program, and all of the media accepted, oh, anti-bullying, that's fine, wonderful. Who would be against that?
As a matter of fact, they were vilified for questioning it.
Yes, they were. Not only vilified, but there were racial slurs cast at them.
Hate messages.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. They were hateful.
So when we looked into that Burnaby program, we found that they already had a pretty good program.
Well, the code of conduct.
The code of conduct. And if they enforced it, they wouldn't need another program. But this other program was bringing things in that were intended to manipulate students' opinion away from any adherence to the traditional family. And we know, I mean, the reason we endorse the traditional family is it is the safest place for women and children. You know, we're not knocking, say, single parents when we say that, because we've both been single parents at various times.
me for a really long time.
And those who've been single parents know you do the very best you can, but it isn't the ideal.
Actually, you know what, Ron? One of the I think, the great assets to my family, because, you know, my kids, you know, the personal situation involving my husband and his illness and those kinds of things. But, you know, the strength of our family was recognizing that there was a missing link. And it wasn't fooling ourselves with, you know, intellectual nonsense, oh, I am woman, I can do this. It was recognizing that there was a foundational link missing, and that would be their father. And of course, it wasn't replaceable. But, you know, thankfully, I had wonderful friends and family who attempted to fill the void. But you're never going to fill that void totally. But you can make it better. And now that my kids are all grown up and on their own and doing all those important good things that they should be, you know, we came through okay.
Including giving you grandchildren. How many now?
Seven now. But you know what, Ron? Having said all that, you know, and I want to come back to this, because this whole bullying industry, and there's an industry that has been built around this, but this program isn't even about bullying. This program is designed to undermine the very things that we here in a civil society view as being important. You know, kindness, you know, but this program has pitted people against each other. There's more contention and destruction going on in relationships within the Burnaby District than we ever seen before.
It labels people.
It labels people. It gives special rights to certain groups.
So then when we discovered the Out in Schools program and began to have a look at it, we found that, A, it was worse if that's possible, because it's a program that has been introduced into Vancouver schools, Burnaby schools,
Surrey schools,
Haida Gwaii, you know, way up on the north coast, and we're not sure yet how many others.
Kamloops, we know.
It's been endorsed by the BC Teachers Federation and, of course, by these school boards that have taken it on. And when we looked into the resources that teachers were encouraged in the classroom to refer the students to, we found just flat-out pornography. Just flat-out pornography.
That's being nice. That's an understatement, people. What we found is links directly to hardcore, raunchy gay porn.
Filth, yeah. So, and you can think of the damage that that's going to do psychologically to students who go there. And you know how students use the Internet. I mean, the smartphones and the... I mean, it's click, and bang, there they are.
The creators of this program understand that, too, Ron
boy,
Gray.
Do they ever.
They understand that better than the parents did until we started giving them some insight into how this program really works. Now, I want to get back to this nice anti-bullying label. Okay. When we started looking at the links that were attached to this, we also had Won't Get Weird, which basically is a 1-800 sex number for your kids to call. It's sponsored by Options for Sexual Health, which is
really Planned Parenthood.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's a
they had to change their name because their reputation was so bad. Yeah. Their founder, you'll recall, Margaret Sanger, was an avid fan of Adolf Hitler. Okay.
Enough said.
So they had to change their name.
But you know what, Ron,
to protect the guilty,
I'm listening to you and as I've been inundated with information, because it seems that everybody is suddenly waking up to the fact that the schools are being used for a political purpose here. That this is a left-wing, socialist-cum-communist kind of mentality that we are sort of funneling the kids into here. And they're using sex, and in the case of out in schools, popping pizza, you know, what better way to lure kids? And parties. Let's not forget about the party, Ron.
The fierce and fabulous under 25 party.
Yes, and now this was very interesting how they lured the kids into this, because part of the Out in Schools program, as a matter of fact, one of the integral components to this is to sort of hoodwink kids into this public service announcement contest.
You can be a video producer. You can make an anti-bullying video.
Well, more than that, you can be a hero in your community and tackle all these horrible social ills that just are infecting our school environments and our society. You know, I mean, this homophobia epidemic is way bigger than it really is.
And then... you can win prizes.
And contests. And
your winning video, or second place, or third place, or fifth place, will get a public screening.
The
award,
public screening.
Plaudits. Fame.
Fame. What 13, 14, 15-year-old doesn't want to be famous?
So where does the public screening take place?
Well, you know, this is the problematic part of it, Ron. This is kind of where, you know, it got interesting all over again. I mean, there was a lot of interesting stuff about this program, but it turns out that the Out in Schools program is under the umbrella of an organization called Out on Screen.
Out on Screen.
And, you know, when you go to their website, it's just that's their homepage, people. So Out on Screen is the umbrella organization for, here's Out in Schools. But what's the other component to it, Ron Gray?
It says here, Vancouver Queer Film Festival.
That's kind of racy.
What kind of films would those be?
Well, that's a whole nother story. So this organization, Out in Schools, really is Out on Screen. Oh, and by the way, people here in British Columbia, $370,000 of your hard-earned tax dollars have gone to support this little adventure.
Ouch.
This is bigger than an ouch. Come on, an ouch is something a Band-Aid will cover, Ron.
Oh, well, then I have to back up from the microphone.
Ah! Thank you.
Okay.
Much more apropos under the circumstances.
Okay.
So Auden's Queer Film Festival is where this public screening is going to be. You get to become part of this. So kids go from being observers in the classroom to active participants in these public service announcements to part of the queer community now by attending the Queer Film Festival.
And that's where the Fierce and Fabulous Under 25 party comes in.
Yeah, parents kind of didn't qualify for the Under 25 age thing, you know?
Parents of adolescents would be over 25.
But then, hey, listen, Ron, that would have put a damper on the events at the little Fierce and Fabulous party.
Isn't Russ Johnstone over 25?
He sure looks like it. And he was there.
Maybe he's
we
lived
have
a hard,
pictures of him there.
Maybe he's lived a hard life. Maybe he's just
now
a very aged 25.
For those of you who don't know who Ross Johnston is, well, first of all, this is where I want to introduce you to the videos that Culture Guard put out. Go to cultureguard.com. There's two links to take you to the videos. Now, they used to be really easy to access on YouTube, but the gay activists have kind of all got together and they've sabotaged our efforts to bring you the truth and facts on this. They continuously flag these videos, so now we're having little discussions with YouTube, but of course there's a bureaucracy there, so that's going to take some time. But thankfully, the roadkill radio techies have ways around these things. And
thank you, Jim.
Pretty soon, they're going to be at your disposal quickly. They are there now. It might take a little time to download. But for those of you that are joining us for the first time, I encourage you, go to cultureguard.com, download part one. You'll see what we're talking about. Download part two. We warn you, graphic. And I want to talk just a little bit about this, Ron, before we get on to what was really going on at the Fierce and Fabulous party. This was a very lengthy debate that we had going back and forth at Culture Guard on how to present this information. And you know, I was in anguish over this, right? I mean, I walked around, literally for a week and a half, people apologizing to people for corrupting them, okay? You know, close your eyes when you listen to it, whatever you need to do.
That's people like me she apologized to.
But you kept reminding me you were far gone.
But the question comes, how can you tell people what's happening to their children unless they at least experience what is made available to their children?
And ultimately, Ron Gray, that was the logical arguments that were presented to me by a number of people affiliated with the creation of these videos. Carrie, this is what they want your kids to see. And I couldn't argue with that, could I?
No.
And I couldn't say, well, no, not really, because that is what they want the kids to see.
Yep.
And
they must, because they're referring the kids to those websites.
Well, and you know what, Ron? I think it's time that we actually grow up and show what this is really going on. I think for a lot of the conservative group who have known for decades where we're going with this, you know, there's been this hesitation not to deal in the full reality of it. These videos, people, deal in the full reality. You deserve to have the truth about what is going on in the classrooms of British Columbia and elsewhere in Canada, because this isn't limited to this one program called Out in Schools. This is coming in a variety of ways through a number of programs, all under the same, anti-bullying, diversity, let's deal with homophobia, let's deal with my favorite, heterosexism, you know. So anytime you see those buzzwords, people, please tune your antennas in the upright position and say, I'm going to look into this.
Can I take you down a small rabbit trail? Because I have a pet peeve in this area. These films, these filthy films, are often referred to as adult entertainment, adult films. Nothing could be further from the truth. These are films that appeal to puerile, infantile people who haven't yet grown up.
It's one hell of a rabbit trail, Ron Gray.
Okay. It's not adult material, but certainly only adults should be allowed to see it, anyone's going to see
it. And you know what? What adults want to do, Ron, I just don't want to pay for it. And I don't want kids going to see there. You know, I mean, you know I'm the resident sort of libertarian on these fronts, right? Although you're corrupting more and more to the conservative side of things. But, you know, I don't have too much hope for the state regulating our lives, right? But you know what? If we cut the funding to this, it shouldn't be my hard-earned money or yours.
That's the best first step. Yeah. Well, if I say, this is gross stuff that nobody should see, they would cry, censorship. Sorry, when they try
videos.
And take our videos off YouTube, isn't that censorship?
Where's free speech? Double pout, people.
Yeah, okay.
No, it is.
Double pout over double standards. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. The hypocrisy at its best, I think.
At its best,
yeah.
Or worse.
So we created these videos with much debate within the internal operations of our organizations. And I have to say I'm very pleased, because I expected some response of why are you doing this and this. Instead, people got it, Ron Gray.
Yeah, they did.
You know, I think we're finally at a point where people understand, okay, this is what's going on. We have to do something. And as you said at the beginning of the show, you know, the response has just been overwhelming. We have not stopped. Now, having said that, let's bring people up to speed on what's going on, because there is a lot going on. We have posted on our website information that's going to help you, because we have been inundated with emails of who do we call, how do we get in touch with them, what do we do, what are we going to say, and all these things. Now, when you watch the videos, we clearly identified the sponsors, because there's more than just taxpayers supporting this little adventure, Ron. There's corporate sponsors. There's charitable organizations. TELUS is a major sponsor. VanCity, Vancouver Foundation. The issues around false pretense and fraud. There's also the problems of the obscenity laws, because clearly some of the videos that were shown at the Queer Film Festival violate the criminal code. This is going to be problematic for the Queer Film Festival. I would hope it wouldn't be problematic for the Vancouver Police, because I would hope that they would see their duty is just to apply the law.
The law.
Now, how that affects our provincial government, who funded these films to be given some public display, is a whole other matter. But when we presented the complaint and all of these things, of course, it is, you know, we have it on pretty good authority that those charges will stay. So what's happened now with the false pretense aspect is there's been some new developments on that, and I'm going to share that with our audience tonight, because this gives you a good example of what's happening. Currently, there is a lot of activity behind the scenes to cover up. When one of our first researchers contacted the Vancouver School Board in early September, suddenly these links to one particularly offending youth resource website, the Health Initiative for Men, was suddenly dropped from their website. Now, fortunately, our researchers, we're pretty good at knowing how all this works. We have hard copies of everything. We have copies from August 30th where this website was still up. Now, some other interesting things have disappeared from the website, Ron Gray. And this goes directly to the issues around the false pretense. I should also tell you, though, that the Burnaby School District and the Ministry of Education and everybody else is scrambling to say, oh, well, those offending links, that was when the Health Initiative for Men had a youth initiative underway. Well, okay, so that youth initiative stopped, I guess, at some point after August 30th, which was just 20 days ago. Now, the other problem with that, people, is that we also have pictures of the Fierce and Fabulous party on August 12th.
Back to the party, yes.
August 12th, 2011, where the Health Initiative for Men had a display at this party with their pornography and their promotional material. So when you see in the news reports, oh, well, they were not doing it. Yeah, that's because they got caught, as one of my fans said, with their pants down. And as he put, no pun intended, literally.
Literally.
But there gets to be more. Now, one of the interesting claims that the Out in Schools resource guide and their promoters had made on their website was that this program had been submitted for approval to the Ministry of Education.
Ah.
And that sounds pretty good. Like, okay, this must be a good program. And I'm sure that's part of some of the selling points, you know, when people are researching this.
Well, and when they go to a corporation to get funding, they say, this has been approved by the ministry.
Well, even submitted. No, they use the word submitted here.
Submitted.
Yeah,
okay.
Submitted for approval, and they want to make it mandatory. All the language that says, this is all on the go. This is all good to go. Regrettably, though, the Ministry of Education has now confirmed that no such submission was ever made.
That was a lie, then.
Well, that would appear to be, as long as everybody has their facts straight. We have the letter from the Ministry of Education now confirming that this resource has not been received or submitted to the best of their knowledge for approval. And then, you know what happened? I went to the website today, you know, and again, you know, they shouldn't do this because we do have hard copy of everything. Guess what claim is now missing from their website?
The submission for approval to the ministry.
That would be the claim that no longer exists now on their website. So, you know, this story keeps unfolding more and more, and, you know, lies upon lies. You know, this is not a good thing out in schools. Why don't you just come clean and say, you know, we're going to start over. We're going to look at the evidence and the facts and all that we're doing and be honest with people for a change. The other interesting thing, and I haven't had a whole bunch of chance, but we haven't heard anything from Rami Chandra. And
he's the author of the Out in Schools.
That was one of the claims. I'm having a hard time finding that page too now.
Oh, is that?
But you know, I suspect we have a copy of it.
Gilbert and Sullivan called this corroborative detail to give verisimilitude to an otherwise bald and unconvincing narrative.
Is that a lie?
The short way is a lie. Yes.
Okay, so now we have a whole bunch of things that are happening. There's freedom of information requests that have gone off because we want to see the contracts. We want to see the proposals that were made.
We want to know how much money.
Well, I want to see what they told our government officials, Ron Gray. That's what I'm very curious about. I mean, we know the money, $370,000 from the provincial and federal governments, okay? I want to see how they seduced our government into giving them this funding. Did the fact that Rami Chandra's spouse happens to be a sitting MLA make any difference on this? Did he support these programs? Were there letters of support from him? I have letters of support from Spencer Chandra Herbert to the Burnaby School Board when they passed the policy, this controversial policy that opened the door for Out in Schools. Is that a breach in the code of ethics?
Is that a conflict of interest?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we need to know these things. But I'm really curious about this, so I have to say, it'll be a little bit like Christmas early, people, and I will share my Christmas present with you if they give it to me. Because the freedom of information doesn't always cooperate with Carrie Simpson.
As the Burnaby parents found, it's sometimes difficult to get freedom of information. Sometimes it's not free.
So what I've asked for very specifically are the contracts. Like, what was the proposals that were submitted? What did they say about this program? Did they claim that this program had been submitted, for instance, to the Ministry of Education? Did they claim that this was an anti-bullying program? What statistics did they use to support that? Were those manufactured statistics? What do we have happening here? What do we have as far as the results of this program to justify getting more funding for these things? We want to know.
Carrie Simpson, I want to give you a warning now about your criminal complaint to the police, because I remember a story. This is about 5 years ago in Toronto. During the Gay Pride Parade, there were seven men from a group called TNT Men. TNT stands for Totally Nude Toronto. So here were these guys. You know those little razor...
It's amazing what you learn here on Roadkill Radio.
You know those little razor scooters that you stand on and push with one foot?
Do I want to know?
These guys were stark naked on razor scooters, seven of them. They went down the parade, and at the other end of the parade, the Toronto police naturally arrested them for being nude in a public place.
Well, wait a minute. Did you use that word naturally just as a... Or was it... It works.
Au naturel. Okay. Anyway, the Toronto police were not au naturel. They TNT men were. Okay, anyway.
At least not yet.
They were
Give
arrested.
Give them time. Give them time, Ron Gray.
They were arrested, and the police filed an information with the Crown Counsel's office saying these guys were totally naked in a public place in downtown Toronto, and there was a homosexual man who is a member of the staff of the Crown Counsel's office in the provincial ministry in Ontario, who looked at that, and he examined the case, and he said, we cannot win this case. They were not, in fact, naked. They were wearing shoes.
And
the case was never brought to court.
And that was the problem. We don't know what the court's position would be on that, because that's one bureaucrat deciding whether or not this case is going to proceed.
Yeah, so we have to follow on this and stay on top of it and make sure that it doesn't get sandbagged by some pro-gay bureaucrat.
Well, let me give you some bad news then, Ron Gray, because in my little search, because like you and the other staff associated with Roadkill, we spend a lot of time doing Google searches, you know, it's Google info world, right? And I came across some very disturbing stories involving the Vancouver police participating in roundtable discussions in conjunction with the Queer Film Festival. Not this year, the year previous. And, you know, that causes me to be very concerned.
The police were part of the panel doing the roundtable discussion?
Yes.
Like, it wasn't like they were there saying, warning you, them saying, watch out, you guys, you can't go this far. Don't go any farther than that. No, they were participants in the Queer Film
they
Festival.
They were part of the panel for the Queer Film Festival.
Whatever happened to the objectivity of the police?
Well,
impartiality.
This is just wisdom, right? And you know, this is my question. You know, how far are the Vancouver police going to go to give a comfort zone to the homosexual community and the sex activist community within Vancouver?
In response to their sensitivity training.
I don't know if you remember a constable by the name of Dave Jones, and he was a great vocal advocate for the Vancouver police on all things gay, and he created huge problems within the Vancouver area, especially in conjunction with the Aaron Webster case, because he was labeling this a hate crime before the investigation was even done. I actually made a formal complaint about him. He actually got on the radio, and I have the transcript to this day, and actually I think in one of these segments we will play that, saying, oh, this is how I would define hate, you know, and when I got up this morning, and it was just this, you know.
Oh, I remember that clip.
It's just astounding to see the arrogance of this individual who's supposed to be a law enforcement official acting and presenting himself on behalf of the Vancouver Police Department.
Saying my opinion.
My opinion, and not based in law or those other things that we think should apply. So then we have the other small problem of the Vancouver Police Department being a part of the Pride Parade in itself, of which the Queer Film Festival and other parties out in schools was in this sort of this controversial mix we have now.
Well, I figure Gregor Robertson, the mayor, who is also the head of the police commission, probably made them participate in the parade. I like to think that those guys were uncomfortable being there.
Well, you're speculating. We don't know that. I have to deal in facts. The facts are they were there.
They were there.
And
okay.
Whether that's an improper role or a proper role, I think it's a controversial role, and I think it compromises the integrity of the Vancouver Police Department, especially in the case involving this complaint that we have taken to them.
It surely does that.
So I have a letter that will be off to Chief Chu about this dilemma we have. It's also going to be copied to our Attorney General, because I am not confident, nor do I think the people would share a confidence in the impartiality of the Vancouver Police Department when we take into consideration their active participation in years past with the Queer Film Festival. This investigation is already compromised.
Absolutely. Utterly. It's compromised from the get-go.
Now, I don't know how we're going to resolve this problem, but there is a problem now, whether there's going to have to be sort of a special prosecutor, still yet another special prosecutor assigned to deal with matters involving our law enforcement agencies. But I think it's time that we, you know, that this kind of issue, you know, let's deal with it now. Let's get a proper perspective on it so that people can have confidence in this. And whether or not the crimes that we allege to have been committed, in fact, were. It is up to the police to investigate. We've done a hell of a lot of work for them already. Let's see what happens. But now, can we have confidence in how they are going to proceed with this? And I do not have confidence. I think there's a demonstrated bias, or at least an appearance of bias.
When they didn't, you know, when it took them 2 hours to receive your complaint.
The constable lot definitely was biased. There would be absolutely zero confidence in him as what he calls himself now, the first respondent to the case. So it is now up to him to facilitate this being delved into different departments and all the rest of it.
Or to deep six it.
Well, I would like to believe that they would hesitate that way. I would like to think that they would at least put the appearance of giving serious consideration.
Well, as you've said, we deal in facts. So we'll watch and see what the facts are. But, you know, their reputation is already on the ropes because of the riot and how they handled that.
You know, I think a whole lot more, Ron. And isn't it interesting? Isn't it indicative of all these things we are talking about? It seems that all of our societal structures that we have put in place to protect our civil society are just falling down as everybody tries to accommodate, you know, this new definition of diversity, of this new definition of tolerance.
Definition of diversity that does not include you and me, and they won't tolerate you and me.
No.
They proved that by trying to take roadkill and Culture Guard off of YouTube.
Let's censor the truth and reality. Let's obliterate it. But, you know, all of these issues, whether it's, you know, the police not applying the law on, you know, the safe injection sites. I mean, we've just, every clear definition, if the police aren't down, just ignoring, you know, men having sex with other men in the parks. You know, where's the credibility issues on these fronts? And I think this is where we're moving towards as our society, where civil Canadians, hardworking civil Canadians that pay their taxes, that obey the law, Ron, are just saying, enough. You know, then we wonder why the kids are off rioting. What example do we have that there is a structure in place for law and order? Where is the structure in place that those rules should be adhered to? If those that are, you know, entrusted to enforce the law are ignoring the law.
It's enough to make you want to go down and get one of those free crack pipes and just smoke yourself into oblivion.
I'm not sure about the smoking part, but I would like one just as to frame, and so maybe 30 years from now, being the optimist then, when we turn all this nonsense around, can say,
get our heads
look at how stupid
again.
We were. You know?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, okay, so for where are we going to go from here with this then?
Well, we've had, as I say, we've been inundated. So on our website, people, I want you to go and have a look. You have Premier Christy Clark's contact information. You have the Vancouver City Police contact information. You have the Minister of Education's contact information. We are putting the contact information for the corporate sponsors on this on our website. You can contact TELUS and ask them what they're doing. We would like your names if in fact that organizations and corporate sponsors like TELUS and Van City and Coast Capital choose to continue to support this program and basically facilitate children accessing porn and a program that's designed to undermine parental responsibility and authority in a child's life, then we will move this into another phase of the boycott. At this point, we're giving the corporate sponsors enough time to look at the evidence, look at the police complaints,
and do what's right.
Do investigate, find out who did or didn't do their due diligence. There's another big issue that's also happening, Ron Gray, and that is the naming of the BC Place Stadium.
Oh, yes.
This is a multi-million-dollar contract that's up for grabs, and the scuttlebutt tells us that that TELUS
is in the running.
Has basically secured it. They've got it. But I don't think we as British Columbians would like to have the naming of our stadium that's paid for out of our coffers associated with a corporate sponsor who, again, facilitates, you know, a program that deliberately undermines the family, that deliberately gives children access to hardcore gay porn. I would like to believe that TELUS was seduced or hoodwinked into thinking that this program was something very different than it was, and would look forward and welcome a very public statement from them about what their findings are from this investigation.
But the government money, the taxpayers' money that has gone into this, there can be no excuse for that. If they were hoodwinked, then they're at fault for doing that. They haven't done their due diligence with our money. Now, look, we're not going to raise up a petition about this. And I'll tell you why. You can get a million people to sign a petition, and the minister of whatever will just put it in the round file, file 13 over the edge of the desk. But if you, as individual citizens, write individual letters and send them in to the minister, to your MLA, send us a copy. They will pay attention to that, because when a politician receives a letter from a constituent, he or she looks at that and says that represents at the minimum a dozen other people who have the same opinion but didn't get around to writing. Get around to writing. Take some action. That's the only way we are going to get this monster off our children's backs.
Well, and not just limited to this, Ron. There's, I mean, you and I know we've uncovered a whole bunch of other programs. This is just, we ain't even at the tip of the iceberg that's floating in the ocean yet, people. I think maybe you dip one big toe in. We got a lot more to tell you about.
A lot more.
Now, couple of other things. We will provide examples of letters and what you should be doing, all the addresses, the contact information for you. We keep it easy. But we have some favors to ask of you. Number one, like last week's show, please ensure that you tell at least five of your friends, and then tell them to tell five of their friends. Again, direct them to the Culture Guard website. The information is there. Have them look at the videos. Warn them first. But remember that this is what they want to show your kids. Again, contact the individuals. Email. It's so easy nowadays. There's no reason. This is your democracy. These are your tax dollars. You need to be involved in this. The other important thing, though, because this is where we rely on you. I mean, we are the citizenry. This is Roadkill Radio belongs to you. We are a tool for you. But in that, we also like when you send us letters because, for instance, Joy. Thank you, Joy. You are a wonderful advocate for children and a wonderful activist. She took the initiative to contact George Abbott, the Minister of Education. She was the one that got the letter back saying, we've never heard of this. There's been no submission whatsoever. When you get information back, people, forward it to us here at Roadkill Radio. You may not appreciate the treasure that may be in there, but because we have to have all this knowledge about what's going on here, sometimes we can pick up things that are key and essential, just like this letter. If Joy hadn't forwarded this back to me, we wouldn't know that the Ministry of Education hadn't submitted or had received the Out in School submission. Now, we also, we should tell you that we're writing constantly. I personally wrote to Out in Schools to ask them, you know, when they did submit this. They didn't write back. We need you to interact with us on this. Call the office if you have questions, 604-514-1614. But check the website because everybody's extremely busy doing this stuff. There's lots of information there.
Slow down. Give that number slowly again.
I don't want them to know it.
I know it, people, and I will reveal it. It's 604-514-1614. Okay.
One other thing, get through. Yeah.
When you're emailing your friends about this, if you're going to mention in the subject matter that this is about pornography, let me warn you that you should perhaps write P*ORN, because if the word pornography or porn is there in the subject line, many filters will capture your email and sequester it in a trash file. It won't go through. So, in fact, some of your filters won't even let you send it. So you have to disguise the word, but your friends will recognize it.
Now, I want to read directly a correspondence from the Ministry of Education, because this is how they're couching this term, too. I think it's irresponsible of Minister Abbott not to fully investigate this program immediately. Ron, has Culture Guard or Roadkill Radio received a call asking us for all the information about this so the minister can be informed?
Not at my office.
Not at yours either. We offered before we broke the story. They weren't interested people. This is the spin that they're putting on. I want to first read you the part about not receiving the out in schools. The Ministry of Education has not received, evaluated, or approved for use in British Columbia schools the out in schools teachers resource guide referenced in the Culture Guard news release that was included in your email correspondence to the minister. So this is in response to Joy's letter.
Okay.
They go on to say this. Ministry staff have made inquiries regarding the website link that appears in the teacher resource produced by Out in Schools. We understand that the link originally connected to a website offering information for youth. The website has since changed its focus to adult content. We understand the Out in Schools is currently working to remove this outdated website from their resource. You may wish to contact Out in Schools directly to share any concerns you may have about this resource. People, that tells me that the Ministry of Education is not taking this seriously. They're putting this nice little spin on it. Had the minister or anybody in this government decided to demonstrate leadership and actual concern for your children and what was going on in the public education system, they would have immediately called for an investigation to find out what was going on with this program, what your kids had been involved with. Parents in Vancouver and Burnaby and Surrey may not even know what their kids have been influenced by or attending at the Queer Film Festival.
Carrie,
you know, they had a game there. We didn't even mention the game.
Oh, the game.
The lesbian debauchery, or, you know, your kids could play that. Parents have a right to know. Minister Abbott, why are you not telling parents immediately what this program has opened a door to? You owe the families of this province the truth about this program. You deserve the kids. You deserve to at least, in the very, very, very least, honor the children of this province by calling an investigation into this. But, oh, no, we're just going to put a spin on it, and, oh, it's an outdated website. Outdated, please.
When we discovered this, when you discovered this, the immediate reaction was to take steps to try and protect the children by exposing the filth that was being pumped into their brains.
I spoke to Premier Clark about this program at a barbecue.
The minister's response is to try and shuffle it off and say, oh, well, if you're concerned, you get in touch with Out in Schools. And what will Out in Schools do? They'll tell you, oh, well, there's an outdated link. We're working to get, but it's still there. And as you can see, if you visit cultureguard.com and look at the videos, this is still what is being offered to the children of British Columbia.
Through the resource guide that's in the libraries in the schools.
And in the teacher's guide. And surely the Minister of Education, above all, is the person who should be responsible for protecting children in the schools. Ah!
So much for families first. Hey, Ron Gray?
Families first. Ah.
All right, people. You have marching orders. Check out cultureguard.com website. Check out those links. Click on them. Email the Premier, email the Minister of Education. You know, you don't have to have a long worded thing here. Just say, we agree with Kerry Simpson and Ron Gray. Whatever you want to do, just get the thing out of the schools. Quit wasting our tax dollars. Quit abusing children.
Contact five of your friends.
Mm-hmm. Really important.
Give them that information and tell them to contact five of their friends and to keep that chain moving. We can mobilize millions if we as citizens become our own media. because the mainstream the downstream media are not picking up the ball on
well,
this.
Well, Janet Steffenhagen from the Vancouver Sun, things are starting to roll now, but it just takes them a little bit longer than it does us here at Roadkill Radio, Ron Gray. All right, people, email us, roadkillradio@live.ca, cultureguard@gmail.com. We're easy. Our emails are on the websites, roadkillradio.com, cultureguard.com. Keep in touch with us. Please be our eyes and our ears out there within your children's schools. We have some more announcements that are going to be made in a few weeks about what tools we are going to be giving you to monitor what's going on in the schools. Lots of good news on that front. I'm Carrie Simpson for Roadkill Radio.
I'm Ron Gray. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Roadkill Radio. Join us again next week for another trip down the superhighway of information, fact, and truth.